All right, let me get us set up here to receive Devin. So just give me a minute. Let me bang this out. Let me bang this up. Maybe bring.
There he is.
Bang, yeah. Devin into the show. Welcome into Birds 365. Devin, I know you're looking for Xander, but as somebody said in the chat, Xander got 30 years older today. I'm sitting in for Xander Krause today, but welcome into Birds 365, brother. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Excited to talk through these Eagles draft prospects and, you know, how the draft all ended up.
Yeah, at @RealD_Jackson. You see it there. Make sure you follow Devin on the X platform, Inquirer.com. He and all our friends down there did a tremendous job covering this draft. Devin was out in Pittsburgh. Glad he made it back. So, Mekhi Lemon, I don't think many of us saw this coming. I think, and the Eagles thought that the LA Rams were sitting there at 13 was never a realistic opportunity for them. All of a sudden, they kind of surprised the world, shocked the world with Ty Simpson, and he starts to fall a little bit, and the Eagles go up and get him. That's been Howie Roseman's recent history. I don't want to cloud your picture. What are your thoughts on Mekhi Lemon and the fit in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I was surprised that he was there at 20. You know, I think most people expected him to go sometime before that, you know, whether it was the Rams or the Jets at 16 or maybe someone else inside of the top 20. But, yeah, I was surprised that he was there, but was pleased with the pick because I think he's a player that, you know, I think – plays much bigger than his size. I think he's only like 5'11", 192. You know, just the competitiveness at the catch point, his ability to go up and elevate and make catches over the middle of the field in contested catch situations. You know, I know he played a lot of slot in his final season at USC, but showed some ability to separate as an outside receiver. So, yeah, I'm excited that he got to Philly and that he ended up being the pick. And I think he's someone that, you know, I think is going to fit really nicely in what the Eagles might want to do under Sean Mannion, whether it's what he's able to do with the ball in his hands after the catch, what he's able to do over the middle of the field and, you know, making those tough catches in tight windows and just the ability to you know, when you throw in the ball, he's going to come down with it more often than not. You know, whether he plays more slot receiver in the NFL, does he play some outside receiver? I think that remains to be seen. I know Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni both complimented his ability to do both. I talked to his inside receivers coach, Chad Savage, and he thought the same thing as well. But, yeah, I think Mekhi Lemon is going to be a nice fit with the Eagles and what they were seemingly going to do under Sean Mannion, whether it's those quick, you know, play action throws, getting the ball, Jalen Hurts' hands quick, whether it's on crossers, you know, across the field. I think Mekhi Lemon and the vision potentially with him on the Eagles, I think it's going to be a nice fit overall.
I'm glad you brought that up because that bothers me. I'm always like, to me, it's about projection, not what he did at Southern California. We went through this with Justin Jefferson, everybody. Well, he played slot at LSU. And I don't want to compare those two players, but well, he played slot because Ja'Marr Chase was there. I believe Terrace Marshall was there. It was like 6'2". And he was the guy who could play in the slot. And everybody was wrong that had that evaluation that he was just a slot player. I'm glad to say here this is just not a slot player, just a slot player, because, you know, Devontae played a lot in the slot last year. And I think there would be some redundancy if you talk about losing some of that juice outside the numbers. So you do think he can project not all the time, but go outside and be effective?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't expect him to. I think one question obviously that I had in his evaluation is consistently beating press coverage. So, you know, I think in those situations, if he can prove that he can do that at a consistent level, I think you're not going to have to bring him in motion as much, you know, allow him to get off the line of scrimmage. But yeah, I think there's potential that he can be a guy that, you know, plays some outside receiver along with being in the slot. I think he can live out on the island a little bit as well. And the way that he runs his routes, the way they can create separation and break the cushion of defensive backs. I think that skill set can translate on the outside or outside the numbers.
Devin, can he do that now? Like not in 2 years or 3 years of developing. Can Lemon do that right now going into the 2026 season? Because it is a big drop off with the departure of AJ Brown.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the Eagles wouldn't have picked him if they didn't think he could contribute right away and step in right away and play. And I think for Lemon, I don't think there's going to be a big learning curve in terms of, like, you know, going out there and being productive. Obviously, learning the new offense and garnering some chemistry with Jalen Hurts, that's going to take time. But I think if you're picking a receiver this high in the draft, you're expecting him to contribute day one and step in day one and be productive day one. I think Lemon has all those attributes to do so. And, you know, everyone that you talk to that knows him and knows his background, they believe he will succeed in Philly as well. So I do think Lemon will step in right away and play right away, because that's what the Eagles need, you know, from this first round pick. And obviously the potential of losing AJ Brown in that room, there's going to be a lot of production needed to fill in.
We all knew how he was going to go. He's very honest, and how he was going to go offense early. And it turned out to be, they didn't take a defensive player until the seventh round. Now, they did trade for Jonathan Greenard, which was a big time pickup for Vic Fangio. But I think the surprise, though, Devin, was it was skill, 1-2. Eli Stowers going at 54th overall. Obviously, tremendous athlete. Still a work in progress when it comes to the blocking aspect of it. How much did that one surprise you? Because that surprised me a little bit, thinking about Sean Mannion and what they want and setting the edge and the wide zone and the running schemes and things like that, the stretch schemes. That one surprised me. Did it surprise you?
I mean, I kind of had a feeling going into the draft like Eli Stowers was going to be a guy that the Eagles really liked. And just the fact that, you know, he was there at 54 and someone that they obviously really enjoyed the skill set, what he brings to the table in terms of athleticism, being a former quarterback, the athleticism over the middle of the field. You know, I could see the vision in what the Eagles are looking at with Eli Stowers and understand, like, yeah, they probably need someone in more in that blocking aspect too to kind of help and look for the long term there. But also the pass catching element of Stowers' game, I think, is what they're going to be needing most, you know, after next season. You know, Dallas Goedert is starting to age a little bit, and everyone else in that room, whether it's Grant Calvatera or Johnny Munt on 1 year deals. So I think with Stowers, it's a more of a long-term play, looking to see what he's going to be in the next 3 or 4 years versus like someone maybe that's a little bit more block heavy in their skill set translating to NFL. But yeah, I thought Stowers felt like, you know, in the days leading him to the draft, he felt like he made a lot of sense for the Eagles, even though they did go Mekhi Lemon in the first round. But yeah, I think Stowers is going to be an interesting fit in Philly. You know, like Lemon, a lot of his production came over the middle field between the hashes. And, you know, I'm more interested to see more so than Lemon, because I think Lemon has, you know, even more scheme versatility. I'm more interested to see how Stowers is deployed, just because I think when you look at what he was successful at Vanderbilt, it was like on those seam passes and after the catch, and they designed a lot of ways to get the ball in his hands, whether it was shovel passes or dump off passes, things like that, screen. So I'm more interested to see the Sean Mannion offense. How exactly is he utilized on a down and down situation? Is he more of a situational player early in his career where, you know, they want to get him up the seam or get the ball in his hands? But I'm not sure he's going to be every down player immediately, because of the blocking is much so a work in progress, but I'm interested to see the way the Stowers will be deployed in this Eagles offense.
All right, Markell Bell, I got to tell you, my favorite pick of the draft. They finally got the offensive lineman. I'm interested from the perspective of, you know, look, now everybody's not worried about, does he have to play, number one. He's not going to play. You get to learn behind Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata. I think he projects, even though he played left tackle in college at Miami, he projects better as a right tackle as the pro level. He's already been working. He mentioned that. We talked to him. He's been working with Duke Mannyweather. He's already working on that because most teams saw him as a right tackle. But the length, Devin, I mean, my percent, I used to cover, because I'm old, I used to cover Bryant McKinney, if you remember him. You're young, but he was just this big 6'8 guy. And even when he got beat, it was so hard to get around him. By the time you got around him, the quarterback was out and gone. I see some of that with Markell Bell. The length is so ridiculous. I think the upside is huge. What do you think of Markell Bell at 68? Not only the player, but the value.
Yeah, I was really happy with the pick. You know, just thinking about the Eagles obviously looking for a succession plan after Lane Johnson eventually retires. But yeah, I thought, you know, going into the draft, he was a guy that, you know, seemed a little less likely to get picked by the Eagles just because it felt like they were going to go offensive line early. But, you know, after getting Mekhi Lemon and Eli Stowers, you know, the priority kind of shifted to, all right, who's kind of the next best player and someone they can get a position of need for the long term. And Markell Bell checked those boxes, you know, just a 1-year starter at Miami, and what he was able to do, showing his footwork, ability to keep guys from getting the quarterback. I don't think he allowed a sack the entire season. And that included, you know, the playoff run and the national championship run for Miami as well. And a guy that clearly is still very much so developing, you know, 6'9", 346, the power that he has as a pass protector, the length obviously stands out. When, yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, what he looks like with NFL coaching over the next few years and that next step that he kind of takes. You know, I think when you have a player that, you know, of that size and just of that length, it's going to be difficult for defenders to get past him. You know, I think it's just going to be about, you know, him continuing to get stronger and, you know, being able to kind of translate to the NFL speed of pass rushers and continuing to be able to mirror those pass rushers as well. Pass protection, I think, taking a step as a run blocker as well. But yeah, I'm excited about the pick and to see where he'll be in a few years, because I think you know, of those three guys, those first three picks, I think Bell you know, has the potential to do some really great things in Philly as he continues to get more NFL coaching and you know, has some time to develop and not be thrown to the fire immediately.
Devin, let me ask you one. Let me take you back one. I'm sorry to have to ask you to go back and comment on Stowers for just one. I had one question I want to get in, and then I'll fast forward back into Bell. But on Stowers, if Goddard goes down, is he ready to play? Does his skill set allow him to be ready? I know he's got to develop and everything with the system and everything else, but is he a guy that can step in right now if Goddard gets hurt 3 games into the season? And if not, then what?
So I think he is not going to take over the full responsibility, I think, of Goddard's duties. You know, and the God for Goddard, it's blocking, you know, it's receiving, you know, it's a little bit of everything at the tight end position. I think the Eagles are a little insulated in the fact that they're still going to have Johnny Munt potentially as their run blocker. So I think you're going to see maybe a little bit more of combinations with Stowers. Like, you know, maybe they get a little creative in the way that he's utilized if Goddard goes down. You know, I think they're going to absolutely use his receiving skill set, even with Goddard healthy. But I think they're leaning more on Stowers receiving upside if Goddard goes down more so than his run blocking. So I think it'll be a combination of different things that they put out there. You know, I think they'll maybe pair him up sometimes with Johnny Munt on the field at the same time, or they'll split him out in the slot. You know, I think they're not going to throw him into the exact role that Goddard was filling if he does go down three games into the season. But I do think they're going to lean on Stowers even more if Goddard does go down early, specifically in the receiving element of the game.
And one more back on Bell on the offensive line, Johnny, then I'll turn it back over to you. Just one on there. The in terms of the offensive line, from a depth standpoint, they're vulnerable. Is Bell a piece that makes them less vulnerable? I mean, that offensive line needs to hold up. Chances are they won't. Johnny Mack has said it many times, you can't legislate injuries. But they're going into the season with potential concerns. So what does that mean?
Yeah, they made, picking the sixth round, getting Micah Morris to kind of help with specifically the guard position and kind of insulating them there. Obviously, they also have Fred Johnson as well as kind of their depth swing tackle. And then Markell Bell, obviously, they selected in the third round. So I wouldn't say they are, you know, I would say the depth is okay. It's certainly not, I don't think, at a level where you feel completely comfortable potentially throwing out, you know, a rookie guard if one of the guards go down. You know, obviously Fred Johnson showed that he can hold his own when Lane Johnson went down during last season. But I think you feel okay but not great about the situation just because there is a drop off after the five starters. And it's one of those things that, you know, if one of them goes down, you know, you're going to have to find a way to kind of insulate yourself and make sure that those guys aren't being exposed on every down basis as backups. So it's going to be difficult for the Eagles to, you know, go through a season without some injuries just because they haven't been able to do so the last few years. But I think, while some of the picks that they made in this draft class helps them in the long term, I think in the short term, you're going to have situations where there are going to be potentially some inexperienced guys on the field at times this season. And I think that's where the offensive line development is going to be have to be key under Chris Cooper and what he's able to do as now the Eagles offensive line coach. You know, I think it's going to be a big coaching job for him this season because obviously the starters are at a really good level with your first five, but the next five or the next few that come in because of injury or because of other things, I think Cooper is going to have to do a really good job getting them ready and getting them game ready, and especially in this new scheme.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Devin, a lot of day three dart throws over the past two seasons now. You mentioned Mike Morris being added, but you got Cam Williams from last year, Miles Hinton, Holland Pierce, undrafted kid. You have them outside. Markell Bell adds to that. And then you have Drew Kendall inside, Willie Lampkin, Mike Morris. A lot of young players, but yeah, Chris Cooper's going to be on the hot seat right away. You don't got to hit on all of them, but you got to develop some of them. And it'll be an interesting storyline. Day three as a whole, you mentioned Micah. Also got Cole Payton, a little bit of a surprise, quarterback, North Dakota State. Very Taysom Hill-ish, left-handed. I saw a lot of comps. I like that. Did play in a pro-style offense, though. I think that helps. Did complete 72% of his passes, but it is what it is at that level. Cole Wisniewski, right now I think the Eagles are going to add somebody else at safety at some point. But there's an opportunity at least for a late round potential hit there. And then, of course, Uar Bernard is going to be the story, I have a feeling, tomorrow when we're down there. Just the absolute freakish measurables, athleticism. But that's a multi-year project. I think people forget how long it took Jordan Mailata. So that's a multi-year project. And then Keyshawn James Newby, sort of this year's, instead of Antoine Powell Ryland, it's Keyshawn James Newby. So APR turns into KJN. What'd you like about the day three picks? What stands out to you?
Yeah, I feel like most of those picks on day three were guys with, you know, extreme athletic measurables. You know, Cole Payton, 1 year star in North Dakota State, the running ability that he showed across his entire career in North Dakota State. They specifically put in run packages for him early in his career to get him on the field and have him on the field. And he's a powerful runner, someone that, you know, showed some explosiveness, ran a 4.56 40 at the combine. And, you know, I think more so just other than his running ability, I like his touch on deep passes as a thrower, his ability to create off-platform throws, the escapability that he showed at North Dakota State, the athleticism, and they played to that a lot in his 1 year of starting, you know, moving the pocket a lot and play action and getting him out on the edge. So I'd be interested to see what the long-term vision is with the Eagles with Payton. You know, do they want him on the field early in his career? You know, as kind of that runner and use him in those Taysom Hill packages that we saw with the Saints for so many years, or do they truly want to develop him as, you know, kind of a backup quarterback? I'm kind of interested to see where the vision is there. Micah Payton, or Micah Morris, excuse me, the guard from Georgia, someone that is extremely powerful and athletic too, you know, tested off the charts. You know, you look at his RAS score, it's extremely high, and you can see the, you know, moving forward, the kind of the explosiveness that he has. I don't think laterally he's as explosive as he is moving forward, you know, backward and forward, but I think he's a player that you has the skill set and size to develop into potentially a star down the line, or at least a backup player. You know, Cole Wisniewski, probably one of my favorite day three picks. I like that he is a former linebacker without playing safety. So those run fits that he comes into, or he did at Texas Tech, it showed that he is a player that can, you know, mix it up and be really physical. Has some size to him at 6'3", 219. You know, a player that I think, you know, needs to get a little bit better and more consistent in deeper zone coverages. But in terms of everything that's happening in front of him, he's able to close on passes, you know, get his hands up for deflections, and just a smooth player that, you know, can get out of his back pedal pretty quickly. And someone I think will find a way to make the roster as a special teamer. And, you know, I do think he has some traits to, you know, if the Eagles really like him, he can really pick up Vic Fangio scheme really quickly. Maybe he can get some early playing time his career. Uar Bernard, obviously, his story is amazing, and he's able to, you know, what he did through the International Pathway Program, and obviously the measurables testing wise was off the charts. A guy that hadn't played American football yet in his life, so I'm interested to see what that long term development looks like for him. And then, yeah, I agree on Keyshawn James Newby. I think he's a guy probably, you know, practice squatter type of player where he has some pass rushing upside, but as a run defender, I have some questions and he lacks a little bit of length. So I can see the Antoine Powell Ryland comps there just because he's a little bit undersized. But yeah, I think, you know, overall, I really like the day three pick of Cole Wisniewski at a position that obviously the Eagles need more bodies and need more youth. And I'd be interested to see how that battle shapes up and who else they bring in to compete at that safety spot.
Yeah, I'm surprised Howie gave so.
Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.
Much Reed Blankenship like love for Cole Wisniewski. That's putting a lot of pressure on him early, but you know, Reed was undrafted. So if you look at it from that perspective, who knows? A lot of these guys aren't going to have opportunities to find the field because the Eagles still have good depth as an overall football team, but safety is one position where you could see a path. The other position, Devin, Rocco Underwood. You need a long snapper. So if I'm going to predict an undrafted guy to make this team, it's going to be Rocco Underwood. But there are some other Alabama guys, any of the undrafted guys that we got, Deontay Lawson, I'm sure people remember him if they're college football fans because he was a starting linebacker at Alabama. Jaden Roberts, a big interior offensive lineman from Alabama. How he had to get those Alabama guys in there. Any of the undrafted guys did you like and pique your interest?
Yeah, Daquan Wright, the tight end from Ole Miss, you know, piques my interest. I think, you know, he's a guy that probably should have got drafted. I was a little surprised that he was available after the draft. And I kind of understand that as well because he didn't test athletically throughout the process. So just one of those things where, you know, if you don't test, you know, you don't end up, you know, showing off some of your skill set. You know, when you watch the film, he can create after the catch. And, you know, he can, you know, broke off a lot of big gains and someone that, you know, has some nice route running ability. The size obviously stands out with Daquan Wright. You know, the blocking is okay for now. You know, it was okay for the college level, but I do think he'll obviously need to develop more in the NFL game. But yeah, he's just someone that I think has an outside shot to potentially make the roster. I think obviously you'll have to impress specifically as a pass catcher, you know, in Eagles training camp. But yeah, I'm really intrigued by him. You know, is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be someone that can show off that skill set? You know, I think that remains to be seen. But, you know, I think the Eagles got some nice value. And again, Daquan Wright is a UDFA and, you know, even if he doesn't make the roster right out of camp, you know, I wouldn't rule him out. You know, as a guy that sticks around over the course of the season and someone that the Eagles stash on their practice squad.
Devin, what do you think of Deontay Lawson? I don't only think that he's has a chance. I think he makes the 53. I loved him as a player at Alabama. I think the kid can flat out play. Another guy who didn't do a lot of testing because of previous injury. Going into the combine, what do you like or do you like Lawson?
I do like Lawson. Yeah. I remember, I think his 2024 season was a little bit better than 2025. And obviously he was a little healthier. I think, that previous season than 2025, but yeah, he's a quick downhill trigger. Someone that, you know, has some exceptional zone coverage range. You know, gets his hands on the football over the middle of the field. He showed some nice ability as a blitzer as well. And yeah, I think for him, it's just going to be showing that, you know, he can, you know, disengage from blocks at the second level and, you know, be able to be a little bit more consistent tackling wise. But in terms of what he's able to do, shooting gaps and the play speed that he plays with, you know, I think all that skill set. Not only translate as a potential, you know, linebacker depth piece, but specifically on special teams when you need those guys that are speedy and can get down the field and can make tackles on special teams. So I think for him, the path is going to be special teams and showing that he can prove that ability and prove valuable. Obviously, you know, when we look at the linebacker room already, you know, Jahad Campbell will be coming back from off-season shoulder surgery. Obviously, they like Smile Munden from Georgia from last year's draft as well that they drafted in the fifth round in addition to Bond and Jahad Campbell and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So it's a position that's a little bit stagged already too deep for the Eagles. But, you know, if Lawson can show that he can maybe unseat Smile Munden as one of those backups and be prove to be valuable on special teams, I think he'll have a chance to make the 53, specifically in the special teams aspect.
Here's where I think he has an impact on this roster. one thing that I will miss and that I enjoyed so much last year was when N'Kobe Dean was cut loose at the line and knocked over whoever stood in front of his way and got to the quarterback. That, I think, is where Deontay Lawson has an impact, you know, on this.
I don't think he's going to be on the field to have that kind of N'Kobe Dean aspect.
Yeah.
You got to be a starter to have that kind of.
But that's the replacement. To me, that's the replacement for N'Kobe Dean's, for that part of N'Kobe Dean's game.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I think that, you know, I think obviously it's going to be tough, like John said, for him to get on the field early, just because of the depth that they have at linebacker right now. But, you know, if he can show that ability in camp, you know, I think the Eagles will certainly love more guys that can create, you know, cause havoc, specifically as a blitzer. So, yeah, I think that's one of Lawson's strengths of this game. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting.
Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.
Interesting to see, you know, one, if he's healthy in training camp, and two, if he can kind of replicate that ability. But yeah, I think special teams will be a big calling card for Lawson.
Yeah, I think Eagles fans should get fired up about Jahad Campbell. I want to see that athleticism on the field and see what that looks like. He's got to get healthy as well. But I think Jahad Campbell is going to be a really, really good player in this league. At @RealD_Jackson. Make sure you follow Devin on the X platform. He and his Inquirer teammates did a tremendous job with the draft this year, so go check out all their coverage at Inquirer.com. He's done a tremendous job for us. I'll leave you with the NFC East, the rest of the NFC East. Now, the Giants had two top 10 picks. The Cowboys had two first-round picks and picked at 11 overall. I think they got the best pick in the draft, and that's Caleb Downs as far as value. He was one of my two top players. And then the Commanders had a top 10 pick. What do you think of the division and how they handled things?
Yeah, Dallas went, you know, defense heavy with their first three picks, Caleb Downs, Malachi Lawrence, both first-round picks, and then Jayshon Barham, the edge linebacker, you know, kind of, you know, hybrid player. You know, I thought Dallas did some nice things in the draft. Obviously, getting Caleb Downs will be huge. Someone that, you know, I think they said they're going to start off playing him at nickel in Dallas, kind of similar to what the Eagles did with Cooper DeJean last year, you know, or a couple years ago, I should say. So I'm kind of interested to see the way that they deploy Downs in Christian Parker's defense, obviously the former, you know, secondary coach for the Eagles. Malachi Lawrence has some juice as a pass rusher. Jayshon Barham is a guy that can rush the passer. He can play more edge than linebacker this year, but also has some interior linebacker, you know, experience. So, you know, they want all defense. They want to continue to improve that defense after some struggles they've had over the last few years. And, you know, having Christian Parker there calling the defense and having some nice pieces to work with, I'm kind of intrigued to see how it all comes together for them. You know, I think the Commanders made the best of what they could with the limited picks that they had. You know, I think getting Sonny Styles, you know, is going to really solidify the middle of their defense in Washington. And then you get Antonio Williams, someone I think is going to have an early impact as a slot receiver in that offense for Jaden Daniels. So, you know, you get a nice defensive piece, nice core defensive piece at seven, and then add a slot receiver to kind of help them there. And then the Giants, I thought, you know, have one of the better drafts, you know, across the board. You know, they get Arvel Reese at five. You know, I'm sure they didn't expect to have him there. I'm kind of interested to see what they do now with kind of their logjam of edge rushers, because they have so many now. Abdul Carter, obviously Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau. Thibodeau is a guy that, you know, the Giants say they aren't trading, but I know that they probably need to shop one of those guys, because you have too many guys in the room. You're adding Arvel Reese to you know, Thibodeau, Burns, and Abdul Carter. You know, just not enough snaps to go around and play all of them consistently. But yeah, I like what they did there, and then adding Francis Maui-Noah to potentially play guard for them to kind of solidify their interior offensive line. And then they add some early contributors in Colton Hood and Malachi Fields on day two. So I like what they did. They give Jackson Dart another receiver weapon. You know, they get better on defense with Arvel Reese and Colton Hood. And you know, they look like they're starting to build some nice things, a nice foundation, you know, under John Harbaugh in the New York Giants era. So I think most of those teams got better. I think the Commanders probably is kind of a net neutral, just because they didn't have many picks to come in. And you get Sonny Styles, and that certainly will help their defense right away. But I still think they have some holes to fill. But yeah, Dallas and New York, I think they both got better in this draft in addition to the Eagles.
Devin Jackson joining us here on Birds 365. Devin, appreciate you coming on board, man. Good stuff, good insight. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, bud.